recorded live.
Welcome. My name is Brenda Leonoff and creator of the Brenda's Mindful Healing Show. As an intuitive coach, energy healer, and speaker, I work with many individuals around the world on Skype, phone, and now Zoom. So the intent of this radio show and why I really enjoy doing it is to give audiences different options. You know, who can they go to? What would best serve them as to their highest good? And so there's a whole variety of guests that I've had on for several years now, actually, on my website of whisperingenergetic.ca. So whisperingenergetic.ca. Tonight, I'm really pleased to have my guest. Her name's Debbie Wilkins. And Deb is a psychic medium and healer. Deb studies spiritualism for over 30 years, led a home circle for many years, and is one of the original founders of the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in Falls Church, Virginia, a spiritualist church chartered by the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, NSAC. And while with the NSAC, Debbie studied and practiced spiritual healing as well as mediumship. And while raising her now adult children, Debbie has got away from this practice. And a few years ago, she began studying mediumship again, practicing in small online groups, and eventually with those small groups via phone and Skype. So Deb continues to study with Philip Burley of Adventures in Mastery. Debbie is also a full-time energy healer, certified in several modalities such as the Emotion Code, Body Code, and Life Force Energy Healing. So welcome, Deb.
Thanks. I'm Brenda.
I'm glad that we're doing this. I was so pleased that you decided to come on and help us out. Help out people who have these gifts and they're ready to step out. They're not too sure if they can, if they feel safe, which is, I think, is a really big issue. So thank you for having the courage and coming out and speaking to other practitioners out there or any individual about, quote, coming out of the closet as a courageous healer. So, yeah, thanks, Deb.
Oh, well, thanks, Brenda. Thanks so much for inviting me to come on when you did. Otherwise, if you hadn't encouraged me to come on, I don't know that I would have made that step. But
yeah, we all need a little push, obviously, including myself. So, it's just time that we, you know, step out and, you know, step into the person that we're really meant to be here on Earth. That's how I'm really feeling, and being our authentic self and trusting that we're going to be supported and that we can shine. So, Deb, tell me about coming out of the closet. Like, I know you do many, you're a very gifted healer. So when you sent in that statement, coming out of the closet, what does that mean to you?
When I was studying mediumship and spiritual healing for all of those years earlier, I was in an area where there was a big community, a fairly large community of people interested in those same things. And so there were organized events, classes, circles here and there. We could always, every week there was something to attend and actually be with other people interested in the same things in person. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I loved doing that. And then when I got away from it for a while, I went through my own trials and tribulations. You know, we all have our mountaintops that we need to reach, and we need to reach them in our own way, in our own time. And each one of those paths look very differently. And so I was on my little path for quite a while. And then once I came back, decided to reconnect with my love for and interest in mediumship and intuitive and psychic readings. Mm-hmm. I find myself in a part of the country where there are not, that I can find at this point anyway, communities, you know, that are actually actively sponsoring different kinds of events, circles, et cetera, that I can join in with. So I've been on my own through phone, Skype, online. I've been practicing and studying again. And I got to the point where, even though I love my job, which is a full-time job of doing energy healing. I love it. I love doing that work. And, of course, my gifts or abilities on the spiritual and psychic levels do come into play when I do that work. But giving readings is a little bit, I mean, you know, when you sit down to give a spiritual reading to someone, that's the focus. It's just a little bit different. So I realized that I love to do it. I love to give readings to people. And it's always a very, at the end of a reading, I always feel quite liberated, I guess is one word, and joyful. Because during that period of time, I've been able to act as a facilitator to bring somebody from the spiritual world to the sitter. Always there's some kind of illumination, healing goes on, you know, for the sitter, and it's a very uplifting experience for everybody involved. But as far as coming out of the closet, the thing about mediumship is, when you sit down to do a reading, you have no clue what's going to come. There, you know, it's all based on the invisible world. So, you know, most people, I mean, I would bet that the majority of people are still very skeptical about those people who are able to connect with the spiritual world in different ways, even though it's innate in every single person, the spiritual senses. We all have spiritual senses that correspond with our physical senses. And I believe that everybody has that, and everybody is able at some point, if they wanted to develop and become aware of those senses, you know, that's at our fingertips. But apart from that, you know, it's scary because I'm going to sit down, I'm going to give a reading to somebody, but I don't know who's going to show up. You know what I mean? I don't know. I have no clue. So I'm putting myself completely out there, very out there. But time and time again, I have had the experience of spirit always comes through. They always come through. You don't know how. And sometimes even afterwards, you're like, okay, so what does that really mean? But it's not up to me to determine what things mean to the sitter. It's up to the sitter, really, ultimately. But the point about coming out of the closet is that it's scary in that sense that you just don't know, you know, who you're going to connect with in the spiritual side. And because it is on a different level, a different dimension of a different density, you know, things look different, they sound a little bit different, they feel a little bit different. And so in that sense, that's why it's a little bit, you know, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath and just say, okay, I'm going to come out and into the public and say, I can do this. I can give readings.
Wow. And you know, congratulations. Yeah, Deb, no, that's excellent, because I know many people here, and maybe probably many on this call that are here tonight, also have, you know, many guests. And it is challenging to step out, because we may have had other times in this lifetime, or if you're open, or if you believe in previous times or preconception where we have been persecuted. And so it does take a tremendous amount of courage. And then on top of that all, the courage that it takes, because I believe that, you know, entities exist, and for those that do the work, you just like, oh my gosh, or am I going to get attacked? You know? So it does take a lot of courage to step out, and we really, really need it at this time. So the more that you step out and shine and allow yourself to be vulnerable, that's going to help other people who are also ready to really step out as well. So yeah, again, so congratulations on that. Tell me, what do you have one reading that you did with a particular person that really sticks out in your mind, and whomever came through that you felt was really beneficial for your client to hear? Is there one story that you can think of that sort of pops out in your mind of how you were so surprised about who came through and the messages that you relayed? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, because when I'm doing a reading, I'm in a little bit different
right
zone, so I don't remember everything. I mean, I can remember some things, but I don't remember a lot about it. What I can say though is, those readings where a person comes in and say one of their loved ones has passed on, and there was some kind of maybe some kind of separation before that person's passing between the sitter and the person who's passed on. And this happens quite often. Someone will come for a CD, a reading, and maybe they're not fully conscious of what they're looking for, but they'd like to communicate with their loved one who's gone on. When that person does come through, if that person is ready to come through, and if that person does come through at that instant, the connection that's made from the person in the spiritual world and the person receiving the reading, it's hard to describe, because often it brings tears, it can bring forgiveness, it can just bring a very strong, almost overwhelming feeling of love. And those experiences are probably the most beautiful. To just speak about them, though, is very—it's difficult to get across how much is behind that. You know, when a person has heard from somebody that they miss very deeply, who has gone on to the spiritual side, it can bring a great deal of healing, a great deal of love to that person's life. So in that sense, that's when it's really the most beautiful experience.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. It's extremely gratifying to be able to do that. Now, I'm just thinking here, Deb, I'm going to open up this chat, allow chat, and for anybody that has any questions for Deb, please feel free to do so. I'm just going to open everything up. So if you have a question for Deb, please feel free to do so. So if there's anyone there who would like to know further as to how do you do the work, whatever comes through for you that you'd like some clarity on, please feel free. Hello? I think there's somebody there. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's Carmen. I'm just tuning in and listening.
Okay.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, no, I just find this really, really just so amazing, you know, to be a person that can be open and receive that kind of connection with the other side. And so... yeah, I just wanted to just listen in and hear a little bit more about Deb's gift, and it's something that I think I'd really be interested in hooking up with you at some time and, you know, having a session. So I would, I think I'm going to do that.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Carmen. Carmen,
yeah.
I just want to say something.
Yes.
Can I say what I'm starting to see around you? Would that be okay?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, I'm just beginning to see some colors around you. I see some turquoises and some peaches. I also hear that you have, do you see colors, even maybe not with your eyes open around people, but if you close your eyes, do you see or feel colors around people when you look at them?
Not really. No, it's not something that, you know, I've experienced. No.
I feel like this is something that you could easily develop, actually.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to talk about that is, and if I see something else, I'll continue, but this is a little sidestep here. Often... once we set the intention to do something, then, of course, it manifests itself. If you sit down and sit quietly, close your eyes, and say you bring someone into your mind's eye, you can ask Spirit to help you with this. You can say, I would really like to be able to see the kind of colors that are around this person.
Okay.
And then what that does is the intention kind of starts to open up your own awareness. So you have the gift already of seeing colors and of all the different unseen senses. They need to begin to unfold, and so that your intention helps that unfoldment process begin and to continue.
Okay.
And the thing about, the reason I'm using colors as an example is that everybody, of course, has colors around them in their aura. Also, though, the energies that come to us and work with us through either spirit guides or ancestral guides, loved ones who are around us, they also have their own color or colors with them. And so it's kind of a fun way to begin to sense the other energies that are around us by seeing if we see little, it might be a tiny little splash of color at first that we see, but as you
right.
work with it, you'll begin to see it more and more. And the colors themselves, colors have certain meanings, typical traditional meanings, But as you begin to see colors, you can begin to kind of sense into the color, and you'll feel a meaning that isn't necessarily in the books anywhere. And that doesn't
right.
matter, because it's that one individual's energy that's coming through the color that you're seeing and is telling you something about them, you know?
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel
okay.
like this is something that might be something that you may be able to develop fairly easily.
Well, it's interesting. I love colors, even in my home. I don't have anything in my home that's like neutral. I'm just always,
oh.
I love colors.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little connection, but... anyway, so
yeah.
thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'm going to ask everyone here to do a star six, just to to mute. And then who wants to speak up, please do your own unmute of star six. So if you have a question for Deb, please go ahead and do an unmute of star six and go ahead and ask Deb whatever you are feeling guided to ask.
Can I still just ask Deb something, please?
Yes.
It's good. So when you do the reading, is it just about you know, having spirit come through and whoever that might be, or can you address, you know, situations in your life, you know, like a block or you know, something that you're stuck with, or is it just about, you know, having spirit come through and listening to, you know, what their message is?
Well, it's about all of that. So you, typically when you come in for a reading, I can connect with your energy, and then whoever is here from the spiritual world that would like to make themselves known to you, I'll describe them, and whatever information they give me about themselves, you know, I'll let you know that. And then I always ask if you have any questions, and I do suggest that when people come in for reading, they prepare, say, three questions. You don't have to have three questions, but that's just a good, you know, if you only have one or two, that's fine.
Okay.
And we can talk about those questions and ask for guidance regarding the information in each of those questions. And,
okay.
And it's really wonderful that the guides do come in. Both your guides and my guides are here at the time of the reading. And when we ask the questions, they are there, and we're able to get the information from them.
Wonderful. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Carmen, for asking those questions.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Deb.
That's excellent. And anybody else, feel free just to step up and ask Deb whatever come. Again, you're guided to ask her. You know, until such time, Deb, I'm thinking here, why don't we just do a little sample, and I know this might be putting you on the spot a little bit, but just to give people an idea of how that works. So if I was to ask you, and I'm just throwing this out, so this is my, and I know I've let several people know about this story, but for example, my father, who's 95 years old, and you know, I thought we were going to lose him earlier in the year, but I feel like he's holding on to something, and you know, and I just don't know what it is that he needs so that he can transition. Like, I don't know, you know, obviously when that will happen, but I just feel like I need to give him something. And I don't know if anything comes to you or not. I know I'm putting you on the spot here a bit, but just in regards to my father, and if
okay.
it's something, yeah, and if it's something that it's not guides coming through, or just in general, you know, because I know that we have so many, all these gifts, and it might be that somebody comes through, or you might be guided to do this or to do that, and we can kind of blend it all together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll just throw that out for you, and just to have people give a, you know, show an example of what can maybe, you know, you can pick up on and where you go with that.
Okay, so in this situation, I, as you were talking, I was asking my guides who work with me, and they stand behind me while I'm doing this, what is going on with this. And the first thing, and I'm hearing very clearly, I do hear actually, hearing clairaudience is one of my stronger gifts. I you know, I say gifts. I mean, everybody has them. So it's not, I'm not unique in this way. But it's my clairaudience has been developing strongly, fairly strongly over the years. So I do hear that your dad is just, he's not ready to go. He's not prepared yet within himself. He has some, maybe a little bit of fear about going. He seems like he's a very stubborn person. Could this be true? It seems like he's got some fear, and it might be about something that he hasn't confronted or dealt with in his past. But there's something that's causing him just a little bit of fear and a little bit of just not, he, you know, as long as he has that, it's going to be, if he has a strong enough will, which I feel like he does, he's going to hold himself back a little, you know, until he has no choice.
It's okay.
I'm feeling like, does he allow you to work with him, Brenda?
Well, no, but it's interesting because I think at a soul level, he knows that he sort of understands what I do, but again, at a soul level. So just the other day, he was saying, well, you know, his left, like he had a mini stroke on his left side, and he's been telling me, well, you know, my left knee's hurting, left ankle. And my own fear of the loss of another parent, I hold myself back. And it's always, those are the times when you need to call in other help, you know, other practitioners, you know, as to helping you out, because I feel blocked to working on him, because it's such pain to... It's such a loss to lose a parent. And I know what happened when I lost my mother, and she died of cancer. And then after she died of cancer, I had a sister who got skin cancer. I got fibromyalgia. Within a year, another sister got fibromyalgia because of the shock. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, and so I tell people that, you know, that are preparing for their parent to loved ones to pass over, do a lot of self-care, because if the stress can be horrendous. So I think I'm kind of closed a bit here because I have my own fear of him passing and the loss. So I don't work. I don't work on him. And as a practitioner, I know that that's when we need to reach out to another practitioner. And I'm not saying for you to do that tonight. I'm just saying in general, that's when we need to step up and ask for help. So
that answers. That I understand that. It is everything you were saying is so true, and it is. Very difficult to when someone that you love passes on, no matter how much we understand the spiritual world, that doesn't make the grief any less. Now your dad, though, in his case, he's afraid of what I think I'm hearing, that he's afraid of what he'll encounter if he dies.
Is he holding a lot of guilt, Deb, because
he has guilt over some things that only he can.
Right.
If he can somehow talk about it. Somehow get it out of him. He needs to get it out so that he can begin to forgive himself. That's the main reason why he's holding back, because he's not prepared to let that go, or he's worried that if he doesn't, I don't know if he's even consciously aware of this. I don't believe he is. I think
no.
Someone needs to pull this out of him somehow. in a very indirect and loving manner, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't believe anyone needs to necessarily know what he's holding inside. But if he can somehow feel that he is,
okay,
if he can somehow begin to get this out of him.
Well, it's interesting because I'm actually seeing him in a couple of days, and I know you just want to, that's what he needs, is just to know it's okay, and to forgive
mm-hmm.
himself. Ultimately, it's all about for self-forgiveness and love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. It's what I feel, and I'm also feeling guided to talk to him at a soul level, so I think maybe that's what I'll do here, is just talk
mm-hmm.
to him at us from soul to soul. So I am going to ask here, is anybody else, please feel free. We have some time here with Deb. You just unmute yourself. Let's just do a star six. That'll unmute you. And if you have a question, just like what I did with Deb here, please feel free to do that. Here's a great opportunity. So go ahead and just speak up.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Emily.
Hi, Emily. I'll let you just talk to Deb here.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Emily.
I have a, so it may be completely unrelated, but if I am trying to essentially figure out what my spiritual gifts are personally, what would be the best way to go about that so that I can, you know, find the best way to harness that gift and use it?
Emily, that's a great question. You know, sitting quietly in a quiet meditation and asking spirit, setting your intention, you can saying this out loud is the best way to do it, in my opinion. Setting the intention that for these next, 30 minutes, it doesn't have to be that long, 20 minutes or 15 minutes, I would really like to be able to begin to feel spirit around me. I would like to be able to feel the energy of spirit coming close to me. I would like, my intention is to open up my my senses, my clairsentience, which is the feeling, the sense of feeling, my clairvoyance, which is the being able to see what is not physically there, or see on other than a physical plane, I should say. My clairaudience, of course, which is hearing beyond the physical plane.
Okay.
There's also the clair of, I forget the clair of the smelling is. Smelling is a very strong sense.
The
if you smell...
Clair sense?
It's something else. I can't remember what it is. If you sometimes are sitting somewhere and all of a sudden you smell roses and you're looking around, there are no flowers in sight, there are no people around, you didn't put on rose perfume that morning, but you still smell that very clearly, that is somebody in the spirit world who's coming close to you. If you smell a cigar and you look around and nobody is smoking, within miles of you or even anywhere in the house, that will be somebody in the spirit world. Don't discount those things, those little flashes of things as being real, because they are. But sitting every day in the silence with that intention is going to help develop these things. Now, you yourself, you're able to see things. You may see things out of the corner of your eye sometimes, or you may look around and see somebody briefly, even as if they were sitting there. I can tell that you have that gift. And is that true for you?
Yeah, actually, I have experienced that, so I would say that is pretty true.
But the way to develop these different abilities is to just sit down with that intention and just it's called opening up to the power. So you're setting the intention to become aware of spirit around you, and it takes practice.
And
every day practice. Some people, all of a sudden, they wake up and wham, they have this, certain abilities, but that's a little bit rare. Practice makes perfect, just like anything else.
Okay. Okay, so it would generally be something that I can feel internally and maybe even externally.
Yes, actually, your intuition is something. Intuition is something that we all experience in different ways. Sometimes it's a feeling in the, you know, someone says, "I just knew I had to do that," or "I knew I had to say that." I just felt something in my gut. You know, almost everybody has that experience. And intuition is actually, that is your inner voice, but your inner voice is usually, your inner voice is hearing on a different plane. It's hearing on a psychic and spiritual plane. So it's able to get guidance and information beyond just what we can see, hear, touch, and feel, you know, with our physical body. So developing that intuition will happen automatically as you sit and allow that. Does that help?
That definitely. I think that definitely answered my question. I mean, while I'm here, can I ask one more question? Is that okay?
Brenda, is it okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's fine.
Okay. So whenever you are doing readings or you're connecting with somebody in the spirit world, how do you connect with that person? Is it something that you visually can see in your head or feel or just like a voice in your head? How does that happen?
When I sit down to do a reading, I start seeing things in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a reading usually with my eyes closed, sometimes with them open, but for the most part, it just helps me to go into that state with my eyes closed. And then as spirit comes close, I'll start feeling some energy, a different kind of energy, so I'll know that they're approaching. I may see some colors that often I'll see colors first, and or I'll hear a name being spoken. And then as I tune into that, as it grabs my awareness, and as I tune into it, then I begin to see the some of the physical aspects of when the person, in spirit, of course, they don't have the physical body, but they'll show me what they looked like while they were on this plane. And,
is that what they look like in their, like, prime, or is there any...
Come at all different times. It depends what their purpose is. They can show me what they look like when they pass. They can show me what they look like in their prime of life. Often they'll come and show me what they look like in their prime. If I want to give some evidence to the person sitting for the reading, I would ask them, one of the things I may ask is, how did they pass?
Mm-hmm.
How did they, go on from this world? And they may show me, they may cough a lot for me. They may make my own throat feel like it's tightening up and I can't breathe. They may make my chest hurt. Sometimes my head gets, you know, huge pain, or I become short of breathing. And when they do that, they're just showing me what happened to them. And as soon as I give that evidence to the person sitting, then that feeling that I'm having will go away, because it's only there for that purpose. He uses evidence.
Wow.
They may show me a certain ring that they used to wear that now the sitter has somewhere or has knowledge of. These are different,
like a personal
different
item.
Ways. Yeah, personal item. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
They may show a memory of, they may bring forth a memory, and if I express what they're showing me, I may not know it's a memory at the time, but if I express it, then the person sitting will say, "Oh, I remember when that happened," and that's it's a memory that they're bringing. So they're bringing different little bits of information to help the sitter know who they are, who they were, and who they are.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Deb. I feel like you've answered so much for me right now.
Oh, well, thanks for asking those questions. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. And
of course.
Yeah, please do a star 6 to unmute.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. And it looks like we still have, you know, some time here. So, again, anybody that has any questions for Deb, do a star 6 to unmute. And, yeah, you're welcome to come on. So, Deb, you've been healing work for how many years now in total? Like, how many years have you been actively working as a healer?
Well, I most recently, just for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
when I was studying mediumship before and spiritual healing, I did healing. Spiritual healing is where you just work in the aura, or, you know, just laying your hands on and allowing energy, you know, allowing spirit to work through you. You don't, you know, actively look for things. I did that for many years, but I didn't do it as my full-time work.
Right.
So as full time, it's just been about 4 years, four
and
or 5 years, I guess.
So what is the National Spiritualistic Association of Churches?
It's one of the organizations, spiritualist organizations. There are a couple large ones. Another one is the Spiritualist National Union. They're real big over in Europe. But they do have churches here too, and these, you know, I came to learn what I've learned. A lot of my understanding about the spirit world through spiritualist teachings, but. What I believe and what I understand has gone way beyond that, just through my experience in working with spirit. Spirit manifests in so many different ways, and they work with the energetic world. I mean, you can't separate them.
No.
You can't separate the spiritual world from the energetic world. And so when I do my readings, many traditional spiritualists may only bring through people who have passed from this life to the spirit world who the sitter knew. But one thing that has happened with my work with spirit is that I am able to connect with spirit guides of people. So when people come for a reading, most of the time, at least one or more of their guides who work very closely with them, who are part of their band of guides, or who are working with them in a temporary position, because we do have guides who come with us and work with us for a temporary period of time, helping us with certain situations, with certain work that we're doing, and then they may go on. But we have a permanent band that stays with us also, that's been with us since our birth. So I'm able to connect with them, and sometimes it's an introduction to the person sitting because they may not be aware of them. Sometimes it's someone that they're aware of and is just coming to, you know, bring a certain kind of message. And also I'm able to connect and see angelic energy, which is a different kind of energy altogether. And so the reason I'm just saying this is it's not traditionally, it's not part of the spiritualist tradition to do to bring in the other types of energy guides who are people from long ago, from years past, you know, centuries past, or angelic energy. But, of course, many people are doing that these days, you know, connecting with these different energies. And I'm just really happy that I'm able to do that, to bring them into as part of my work to be able to bring their energies in as well.
You know, a question, and I'm sure some people may be wanting this question asked, what would you recommend the best route to start mediumship? How did you start out? Who did you follow? And what would you recommend?
To start with, for a good foundation, I do recommend that if you can find a spiritualist church in your community, they'll offer classes usually, and they'll have services once or twice a week. And that's a really good way to start learning the foundation about spiritualism and the spiritual world. And then as you, if it's something that you're interested in and you can continue with, hooking up with the home circle is a wonderful experience. People in communities often, and you can find out about this through the spiritualist community in your area, people will have home circles where once a week, say once a week on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, everyone will go to the house who is invited to that circle, who's interested in that circle, and sit everyone will run it a little bit differently, but it's a good way to be introduced to the different understandings and energies of spirit. And you'll sit in a circle and people will often, from the spiritual world will come through for different reasons to bring messages. And it's called home circle is one name for it. Development circle is another name, because doing that practice week after week at the same time of the week, the same time of the day, it's like setting an appointment with spirit. And so they're going to be there. They're going to be there to help. To help you learn.
Okay.
And
if you Google, did you say home circles?
I would look up spiritualist churches or spiritualist communities.
Yeah.
You could look it up under the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, or you can look it up under the Spiritualist National Union. And every country has their own.
Okay.
You know,
good.
Group, their own deal. So
I think that sounds like a great suggestion of just connecting, like you say. I like the idea of setting up like an appointment so that you're having that same time, same date, and that commitment of showing up, and then they're committed to showing up as well. So
exactly.
That's the
best way to do it. Because the spiritual world is very very interested in helping those of us still in the physical plane to understand that there is so much more to this life than what we see. Yeah.
And
so,
are you sensing, Deb, that the spiritual world is like wanting they want to speak up because of the turbulence that we're going through on Earth right now, and they want to help out as much as possible. So I feel like is there a floodgate of the spirit world that wants to come in and give their voice?
Well, yeah, I mean, just as on Earth, we have people who are working in different endeavors. And we have the light workers, so-called light workers on this plane. And we have the healers and the doctors, et cetera, on this plane. So they are in the spirit world. There are spiritual healers, spiritual doctors. There are the light workers in the spiritual world whose purpose is to help heal Earth, people on Earth, to help bring people forward in their growth, and because, of course, from their viewpoint, they can see a bigger picture. Their guidance is invaluable to us at this time.
Yeah.
So yes, I believe they are quite anxious and even desperate, as we feel that way, to help move things forward.
Exactly. And yeah, there's just so much anxiety that's out there right now that I think for people that are interested in going this route, you know, why not? If you feel drawn to it, if your intuition is telling you like this is something I'd like to learn, then, you know, go for it. I would think that people could contact you, Deb, can they, if they have any questions about it? Is there information that you can give people here, how to contact you, and, you know, perhaps they'd like to have a session with you and learn more about this, and that you can give them some more ideas and suggestions?
Sure can. I have a few sites here. I have a website. You can contact me at any of these sites, and I'll email you back, you know, or message you back. My website is www.DeborahWilkinsEnergyHealer.com, or the shortcut is at the little at sign, your energy glows, all one word. So www.DeborahWilkinsEnergyHealer.com, and Deborah is D-E-B-R-A, Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S, EnergyHealer.com, or at Your Energy Glows, all one word. Then I have a couple of Facebook sites. One is Heartistic Healing. So if you type in Heartistic, which isn't a known word, but I borrowed this from somebody. It's H-E-A-R-T-I-S-T-I-C, Heartistic Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G. And then the other site is Your Energy Glows.
Okay. Great. And what I will have this posted on my website so that you can hear the replay of this. So I will be posting that here shortly. So if you, and Deb will have this link as well. So I'll be sending it to Deb, and it'll be on my website of whisperingenergetic.ca. So that's whisperingenergetic.ca. So under radio. So thanks so much, Deb. I'm so proud of you for stepping out. You're very, very gifted, and we need all the help that we can receive right now. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's been inspirational, and for those that are feeling a little bit intimidated about, you know, stepping into the full power, there can be reasons for that, and that's certainly something that practitioners can look at, is that why is that? Why are you, you know, why is there a fear of, you know, being totally 100% authentic? And that can be cleared. So I'm sure Deb can do that as well. So you, the contact information will be on my website, whisperingenergetic.ca, and I'll be loading that up here shortly. So great. So thanks everybody for coming on. I'm just going to unmute, and if you have any questions, you know, there you go. You can just contact Deb and ask her. Hello, everyone. So thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Thanks for everything you do. You do an amazing service.
Oh, thanks, Deb. Bye, everybody.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Katie.
Thanks,
great.
Deb.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.